Well, good day to everyone, and welcome to our fourth session in our series, In His Presence. What an honor it is to be with you today, and a great pleasure as well. As I've said this several times here recently, I'm just more thankful each day that many of you choose to spend time studying the Word of God with us. Again, what an honor it is, both in you attending and for me to just honor our God through his study of his word. Last week, we began studying in fellowship and desiring more. Now, before I get into that, though, let me just read you from Mark 1:11 concerning Jesus, where the Father said about him, "Then a voice came from heaven saying, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" And what was it that Jesus did that made him well pleased? He fulfilled everything that the Father asked him to do completely. So that brought great pleasure to him. And we've talked about how that's what we ought to be willing to do too. And then we'll hear those same words. And we saw that there was a definite purpose for Jesus coming. Now, a lot of people think it's just so we get to heaven. I don't want to downplay that importance. But I want to say to you, it was much, much more than just getting us back to heaven. It was actually the redemption that he gave himself for, gave his blood for us, was for restored fellowship with the Father, and thus Jesus himself and the Holy Spirit. And we saw that we were created for the pleasure of God. So the pleasure of God sometimes can be said we're created to do the will of God, just like Jesus did. "I come to do thy will, O Lord." And what we saw that this relationship that we've been talking about is the starting point for all we do with the Lord, that really it never ends. Now, in desiring more, we looked at Moses, who had seen more of the glory of God than anyone up on the mountain, in times with him in the temple, the tent of the meeting. And then we find in Exodus 33, when he goes to the tent of the meeting, it says this: "The Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend." And that's what relationship restored means to us. It goes on and says, "When Moses would return to the camp," now it's the same verse, verse 11, "his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from his tent." And that just says to me, Joshua saw the importance. We saw later on that the Lord revealed the importance of the word to Joshua. "Meditate on it," he said. But he had this presence. It's not the word or his presence. It's both of those together. And Joshua recognized this as a young man, and it became important for him. And thus, I think the Lord is showing us how important it is for us. But the seeing the more. In verses 15 and 16, Moses is asking him, "What am I going to do with your people?" And the Lord says, "Certainly my presence will go with you." He was talking about moving him somewhere. And this is Moses' response: "If thy presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here." And what did we say last week? We might say, if your presence isn't going with us, I'm not moving. And that's absolutely what Moses meant. He continued by saying, "For how can it be known that I have found favor in your sight and thy people? Is it not by going with us, so that I and thy people may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth?" So what he was saying was the presence of God with them was the distinguishing factor of everything you could consider, and he was not willing to go unless that presence went with him. And what did it distinguish them from? From all the other people of the world. And so we as born-again believers need to see ourselves in this same way. 1 John 1:3 in the Amplified, part of it reads this way: "And this fellowship that we have, which is a distinguishing mark of Christians," that's something that makes you special that others who are not believers in the Lord Jesus do not have. "And this distinguishing mark of Christians is with the Father," this is the fellowship that we have, with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But Moses wasn't just satisfied with that. He said two verses later in 18 that he wanted to see or experience more of the words he used was your glory. Wanted to get a revelation even more of who the Lord was. He said, show me your glory. And this is how we need to be. A never-ending pursuit in our relationship with God to see and discover more of who He is and all that He desires for His people, of which and of whom we are. Now, we concluded last week by saying this, that we must cultivate the relationship. We can't just sit back and ask Him to do everything. We have to invest our time. I believe I used a Keith Moore quote for a couple of sessions that said the Lord told him, one thing I need to do with you, and I can change so many things with you. And that one thing was what? Spending time, that which we must give. That's really the only thing we have to give Him, is ourselves and our time. Spending time in fellowship with the Father. So we must devote time and attention to it. And this change, this what we're going to be looking at today even, will not occur unless we invest that time. But we also need to recognize that it is a progressive thing. It is really a lifelong pursuit. And that takes us to where we are today. Okay, you may say, well, what do I do? Where do I start? So today the session is entitled, Find Yourself in His Love. Now, how do we begin that? We must recognize that it's a moment-by-moment thing. It's a step-by-step. As we are walking with Him, led by His Spirit, in fellowship with His Spirit, and we're being see ourselves as being renewed, changed in every way, spirit, soul, and body, as we spend time in His presence, fellowshipping with Him. Let's look at some Psalms that talks about this renewal, because that's really what it is being changed from who we see ourselves as today to who we see ourselves as He sees us, how we see ourselves as He sees us. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. And this is a Psalm of David. Now, I put that in the notes. I didn't copy it the first time, but I put it in your notes because we talked about David. And what did David do? He spent time with the Lord while he was tending his sheep. He got to know God. That's how I believe he developed a heart after his own heart, was by this spending time with Him. So, a Psalm of David, and here's how it begins in a time of praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. In other words, pour His whole being into this. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. And then he begins to list some of the benefits that we have already, but we need to have ourselves seen or see ourselves in this same manner. Who pardons all our iniquities. He sees you as pure. Who heals all your diseases. That's His desire because that's what sin brought on us. And He's taken care of that sin issue. Who redeems our life from the pit. A place we couldn't get out of by ourselves. He purchased us and He brought us out of that pit and set our feet on solid ground. It goes on and says, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. And this really gets into His heart and where we're going with this study today. He then says, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed as the eagle is. So He is saying here to us, as we praise Him, as we worship Him, as we begin to see ourselves as He sees us, as we begin to take on His identity, there is a renewal that will go on in us so that we can begin to see ourselves soaring above all situations, just like the eagle does. Now, Isaiah 40, verse 31 says a similar thing, but there's a key word in here that we don't frequently look at the depth of what it means. He starts here by saying, yet those who wait, and that's the word we're going to look at, Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Now, we might say, how in the world can this be? Well, it occurs as we are renewed in His presence. All these things that we're talking about are what comes to us in our spirit and then manifest in our soul and our flesh as well. But we need to understand this word wait in this verse is not just wait as some people would think about it. You know, sometimes when you're told to wait, you'll do things to try to occupy your mind, even twiddling your thumbs. This is not what wait here means. This word wait in the Hebrew is the word kavah, Q-A-V-A-H is how we would spell it. And it means to bind together by twisting. And the best illustration I can give is as you would make a rope or either make a strong cord and take three or four strands and begin to what? Weave them together, intertwine them together. And what do we know? It's much stronger, a threefold cord is, than a single strand. So this is what He's telling us to do. In His presence, we are binding ourselves together with Him through Holy Spirit. He is the one that binds and puts a seal on this. So it's like us, ourselves and the Lord, the Holy Spirit just wraps us together into or with Him. Now, you say, well, that's a couple of Old Testaments. How about New Testament? Well, 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, it says, we do not lose heart. We don't give up. We don't faint, as some of these other verses we're talking about. Even though our outer man is decaying, this flesh will lay down unless the Lord comes back and takes us all home while we're still alive on this earth. This flesh of mine will lay down and life will cease to exist in it as my spirit goes to heaven. But He said, even though this outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Now, if this renewal is taking place in His presence, might we infer that this time in His presence is going to be a day-by-day thing? I think so. Renewed in His presence. Let me read this to you in the Amplified Bible. Therefore, we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless. Now, this is what we're talking about, renewing our spirit and having it impact our soul and our flesh. Utterly spiritless, exhausted, wearied out through fear. In other words, without God, no hope. But that's not us, as we've seen. Though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self, our spirit being, the real you and the real me, is being progressively renewed. Now, I like that word progressively because it tells us this is a continual thing, day after day. So a continual, never-ending process throughout our lifetime is getting to know the Father in a more intimate way. Now, I have heard some say, you know, I've had some of those experiences with Him where I can really sense His being with me, the fullness of that. And I would say many of us have. But this is not something that He wants us to live on past experiences only. Now, those past experiences can fuel us to have more. But we cannot survive on past experiences, past times, fellowshipping with Him. Luke 11:3, Jesus says in what the world calls the Lord's Prayer, I would call it the model prayer. I think John 17 is the Lord's Prayer for us. But Jesus says, give us each day our daily bread. Now we know bread in this context here can have two meanings. It can be the natural bread that we need each day. If you don't eat for a long period of time, this body will get weak and it won't function properly. So it can be talking about food. But Jesus is talking about spiritual matters here with us. And so the word here is really daily bread is referring to the Word of God, which is our spiritual food. So he's really saying, give us this day our daily bread. That's food that builds up strength in our spirit. The literal translation actually goes on and says, give us our needed bread day by day, and I would add by day, as that is a continual process. Now, some may be questioning this. You talk about it being a spiritual thing and not the physical bread. Listen to John 6:63. Jesus says, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Now, we know that bodily exercise, scripture tells us, profits little. Now, that doesn't mean it's not valuable. It just means it's not in the same context of eternity as spiritual exercise is, exercising our faith. Jesus concludes by saying, the words. Remember, he is the Word made flesh. The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. They are life-giving. They are renewing us as we take that fresh word in day by day. That time in the Word is a key part of our fellowship with Him through Holy Spirit. Now, Song of Solomon, the book, I believe, is a metaphor of seeing a love relationship between a bride and her husband-to-be. Just like we are the bride of Christ. So I see it as a metaphor of how we should be in our relationship with Jesus. And in verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, on my bed night after night, I sought him whom my soul loves. So what is this? A continual thing. But it says concerning this example, which is a fleshly example, I could not find him. And then the second verse says, I must arise now and go about the city, in the streets and the squares. I must seek the one whom my soul loves or desires. And again, it says, I sought him, but I could not find him. Now, she had been with him in previous chapters all the time. Yet what? She desired more time. And that's exactly the way we need to be with Jesus. Now, I want to comment on this, could not find him. She did eventually find him because she didn't quit seeking. There may be times when we approach the Lord and we don't sense his presence right away, yet we must act in faith knowing he's there. And that, so not finding him is also scripturally opposite of what the word Jesus says concerning us finding him. Jeremiah verse 29. Verses 13 and 14 describes what results with us when we are persistent. It says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, I'm going to raise this in just a moment, but I'll go ahead and say it. We're not searching for the solution of a problem. We're searching for the one who is the solution of the problem. And that'll make more sense. Verse 14 says, the Lord says, and I will be found by you. So he repeats that finding that will happen. And then he talks about restoring fortunes and gather from all the nations and places where I've driven you. This is talking to the children who were sent into exile, that he wants to draw them back. And if they really seek him with their heart, again, they will find him. And he says, I'll bring you back to that place from where I sent you into exile, that place where he wanted them in his presence. Now, don't forget about Philippians 3:10 as we go through this. So let me read this again, and this is in the Amplified Bible. For my determined purpose is, in other words, this is why I'm doing it, that I may know him. So I'm pursuing him, not pursuing the solution to a problem, although he'll be that solution. He goes on and says, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his persons more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection, which it exerts over believers, of whom we are, I would add, and so that I may so share His sufferings as to be continually transformed, where? In spirit, into His likeness, even into His death, all the time being in hope. Now, this is the essence of Paul's desire to know the Lord more and more and more. And Paul is saying this when he needs deliverance in the jail. But where is his focus? Not on the problem, but on the one who is the solution. So let me just ask it this way. When we're faced with problems, with questions, maybe we need healing, we need wisdom, do we just seek the answer to those? Or do we seek the person who has that answer? He is the answer to every question, to every need. And instead of seeking solutions, we need to seek Him. And then we're what? We're renewed. We're transformed into His image. Let me give you another illustration in Psalms 42. And this will be a very familiar psalm, but seeing in this context, I believe it will minister to you. It says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for thee, O God. In other words, it's strongly desired. My soul thirsts for God, verse 2 begins, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? In other words, when am I going to come into your presence? My tears have been my food all day and night, while they say to me, where is your God? These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. He then says, for I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God. Well, why did he quit? Maybe looking and pursuing the solutions to problems versus the one who is the solution? That's the way my mind thinks when I meditated on this. I lead them in procession, where? To the house of God, to His presence, with the voice of joy and thanksgiving. That's how we're to be in our pursuit of Him. A multitude-keeping festival. And then he talks about what we often experience when we're trying to seek the solution. He says, why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed in me? And here's the solution. Hope, think about, focus your attention to God. For I shall again praise Him for what? The help of His presence. Knowing that help comes when you're in His presence. Verse 6, O my God, my soul is in despair with me, but I'm not quitting. Therefore I remember from the land of Jordan and the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. He's remembering all those good times when the presence of the Lord was with him and brought deliverance as that presence dwelt with His people. And then it says, deep calls to deep at the sound of thy waterfalls. All thy breakers and all thy waves have moved over me. So when we find Him, when we pursue with the depth of our spirit the one whom we are seeking, then what's going to happen? His presence is just going to overwhelm and overflow us. 2 Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy in the first chapter of 2 Timothy, verse 12, he says, starts out by saying, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed. In other words, I'm not giving up in pursuit of your presence. For I know whom I have believed. So he's already come to know God, yet we know Paul wrote, he continually comes to know Him. But look at this part, because I think it's a revelation of where we need to lay down things for the Lord. He says, I'm convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him in that day. We can't just pursue. If we are pursuing solutions, then there are things that I believe that we haven't given over to God and trusted Him to do what? To provide those solutions. But our problem is that we're seeking the solution, again, not Him. Have you heard the phrase, do you know the Word? You know, maybe the real predicate question, the question we ought to ask first is, do we know the God of the Word? do we know Jesus, who is the Word? This is just not a cliche. It is something that is a lifelong pursuit, as we're seeing. So I want to spend the remaining few moments not looking up all these verses, but I want to give you some of the verses if you're saying, well, what do I do? Again, back to this, where do I start question. What if I don't have the desire? And what I want to say is we're going to start with love. Now, I've paraphrased five verses here to put it in a tense that you have ownership of it. And so like John 3:16, what we're saying is, you have loved Jesus. You have loved me so much that you gave Jesus for me. And so these are verses that I would strongly urge you, if you have trouble pursuing Him, start with these. Start with the love He has for you. Don't try to increase your love. See the love He has for you. So John 3:16 again, you love me so much, you gave Jesus for me. Romans 5:8, you loved me even when I was a sinner. And, you know, and I've said to you, we're either a sinner or we're a saint. We're not just an old sinner saved by grace. We're a new creation. That sinner is dead. But if we miss it, we can still say, you love me even though I've sinned. John 15:9, Jesus, you love me just like the Father loves you. And that's one, as I told you, I would camp on. I tried to say that and look in a mirror, and it was all I could do not to turn away. But you need to be able to look at yourself in that mirror and see yourself loved by God just like He loves Jesus. And by professing this word, by speaking what you're trying to get down deep in your spirit, it will begin to grow. 17:23 says it another way. Father, you love me just like you love Jesus. In 1 John 4:16, I have come to know and I have believed your love for me. So these are just a few verses that you can begin with to build up this image of how God loves you, so that you are being renewed in this and becoming able to walk in this love. Because if you can't walk in this love, you're never going to be able to have the trust that you need to have the faith to move on. You can also begin to move in His presence with these verses. And here's another five selections. There's a couple of more verses, as several of them have two or three. But Psalm 84, your dwelling place is beautiful, and it is where I want to be. My soul longs and yearns to be in your presence. My heart and my flesh sing to you. I am blessed. I am renewed. I am regenerated when I come into your presence. Again, things that we can say and confess to begin this journey of entering into His presence with His Word and with Him through the Holy Spirit. Psalm 100 verses 4 and 5, I enter your gates with thanksgiving. I enter your courts with praise. I give thanks to you, for you are good, and you can add to me. You do good for me. Your love for me lasts forever. You are always faithful. Psalm 91, a beloved psalm for many of us, verses 1 and 2. I dwell in your presence. I abide in your shadow. You are my refuge. You are my fortress. I trust in and have complete confidence in you who loves me. Psalm 63, verse 8, my soul clings, holds on to you. I follow hard after you. Your right hand holds me up. That's talking about Jesus. Psalm 36, verse 8, the final one, I drink my fill of the abundance of your house. Now, what is the primary environment of heaven? I believe it's love. I believe that's the atmosphere of heaven. I drink my fill of the abundance of your love of your house. You let me drink from the river of your delights, your promises. And saints, this is how we begin to change this image, to be renewed in Him. Starting in our spirit, and that'll impact our flesh, just as it impacts our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. Now, we're going to pursue and move on with this because this is the starting point. But we're called to do more. There are some things that He's given us, as all believers are, as a purpose. And that's what we want to enter into in our next session. So let me tell you that next week, we're going to begin to talk our rightful position in Him. And you're going to see He's got some great things planned for you as you spend time in His presence.